Listen, Lord bless you. If you're visiting with us here for the first time, we'd like to extend a warm welcome to you this evening. Pastor Robert is taking time off tonight, and he will be here on Sunday to continue through the book of Romans. But tonight, we're going to be going through God's Word. We're going to be looking at the life of David and some of the other patriarchs as well. We're going to look at a time in David's life where it's probably the lowest time of his life, one of the most difficult times, because we're going to find that David loses absolutely everything he has. Everything that's important to him in one moment is gone. But what we want to learn from this is, how does David react? And, you know, we do live in a time of change. And so I think tonight I want to sort of address, what do we do living in a time of change? Now, change isn't something new. I mean, we're sort of living in this time and place here in history right now where, you know, God's placed us here. Now, as we look to God's Word, we can say, well, God's Word tells us that there's changes on the horizon. As we look at our environment around us, and I'm talking about the whole world in general, we see incredible changes taking place. Some of them are difficult changes. Some of them are causing us to sort of rethink our lives, what we're doing, where we're going. But I just want you to know, change has always been around. Now, Solomon says that there's nothing new under the sun. And though we look at our lives today and think, well, times have never been like this. Yeah, they have. And they've actually probably been worse in some situations. But so tonight, we want to see what happens when change comes. How do we as Christians act? What are we supposed to do? And, you know, it's beautiful because we have God's Word. It tells us what to do. And so as we start to look at God's Word tonight, as we start to look at God's Word tonight, we're going to see how we can apply these teachings. Now, as we look around here, how many have ever done this? You go to church, you look around, and you look at the people, and you sort of know some people, and you look at the life, and there's that couple. They always look so happy. Everything seems to be going great in their lives. Or look at that guy over there. Seems to be successful. What a successful person. And, you know, and those people seem to have it together. They seem to be really strong, and they don't seem to have struggles or difficulties. And, you know, we have a tendency to look around at people and measure ourselves where we're at, and we always think that they're doing better, that the grass is greener on the other side. And let me just tell you something. No, it's not. We all go through troubles. Why? Because we live in a turbulent world. You see, we live in a world that is not governed completely by God. Satan is alive and well. And so what we experience sometimes is we're confronting our different enemies in different situations. We battle against Satan. We battle against the world. We battle against our own flesh. And sometimes these things come at us when we least expect it. And you know what? God said this. Jesus says this. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome. See, he doesn't expect everything to be perfect in our life. And as we look at change, I want to just even say, look at our country tonight. Look where we are as a country. Is there change? Yeah, we're going to look at it tonight. There is change. And some people are a little perplexed, but we'll talk about that in a minute. One thing I do want to mention here is that, you know, the security that we have as Christians is we have God's Word. We look at the lives of the patriarchs, and we see the difficulties that they went through. And guess what? They, without exception, they all graduated. Yes, they graduated, and you will too. Why? Because Christ is for you. He is with you. The good work which he began, what do you think he's going to do? What does the Word say? He'll complete it. But sometimes we fret, even in our Christianity. Sometimes we get into situations that we say, I don't know if I can go on. I don't know if I can take these pressures and these difficulties. It's becoming too much for me. And thank the Lord that we have wonderful scriptures like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But how does Christ strengthen us? And that's what we want to look at tonight. What do we do when we run into those times that are kind of tough and we're not sure where we're going or what's happening around our environment? So as we take a look tonight at David's life, we're going to see again that he lived in a very, very stressful time. But let's talk about some of these things that happen in life. And I call them distractions. See, there's many distractions in life. Again, remember, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Yes, we have to live here. Yes, we have to traffic through it because we're doing a work for God. But we're not of the world. But when you least expect it, the world imposes itself on your life. And guess what? Count it all joy when what? These fiery trials happen. Well, why? Why do you say that, Lord? It's not fun. Why do you call it? Why do you say have joy? Remember the verse I said earlier? Be of good cheer. It says, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What? Because I've what? Overcome. And see, part of us living in life and having diversities of change is about us growing. It's about growing and knowing who the Lord God is in our lives. See, I get to know who Jesus is in a real beautiful way as I go through these things, as I see his faithfulness, and then I can reach out and what? I can help even others. And so these are some of the things that we want to look at tonight. So when we talk about change, how many of you right now have really sort of been a little worried about the economy, maybe your money? Some of you have lost money. Some of you have gone through difficulties. You're not sure even where to put your money today. You're thinking, well, you know, I'm going to retire in a few years, and where do I go? What do I do? And that can be something that imposes itself on you, but guess what? It's part of the world. It's coming from the outside in. Now, where your treasure is, there what? Your heart is also. So when we see that, okay, but that's a reality. It's a real thing we do think about. I'm not going to play it down. I myself wonder, where will I be economically? What's going to happen? I don't know. The other thing too is, I'm not going to talk about politics, but we can look at the political world. Even the world's changing politically. There's changes being made that, you know, we're just sometimes saying, well, wait a minute, wait, can I say something here? That's not how we do it. Oh, wait, that's not fair. Don't we vote first before you legislate? Aren't we the people? You know, we the people of, what happened to the we the people? So we can sometimes focus on those political things and go, I'm worried about this because I don't know where it's going. I'm not sure what's happening around me. And so we can get what? Off focus. The other thing too is, you know, you look at global events. Everything from a tsunami to a hurricane. You look at wars and rumors of wars. You know, you can think of terrorism. These are all real things that are happening around us. And you know what? The Lord told us in the end times these things would happen. He told us. He's warned us. But yet sometimes these things impose fear upon our hearts. And we are perplexed. We worry. And guess what? We focus on them. There's other areas we focus on too. And sometimes it's our health situation. The doctor says, gee, you know, it's not good news. What do we do? All of a sudden my life's changed. I never saw this coming. I thought I was okay. It felt good. And now there's something going on in my life. Wow. It can pull me away from having peace and joy in my life. You know, I'm going to be honest. I watch sometimes on a TV commercial, you know, these new drugs that come out. They say, you know, if you have this problem, take this drug. You know, it causes vomiting, nausea, stops your heart, you know. And it just goes on and on. And I'm actually perplexed and more afraid of the drug I might have to take than I am the disease I might get. I'd rather get, you know, I mean, I'm, you know. But I'm just saying, see what the world does to us? Because now you find yourself having to take this drug and you watch it on TV and go, oh my gosh, I'm going to die from the drug. It's supposed to help me. But be of good cheer, Jesus says. Some of the other things, and this is a little more close to home, is what about relationships? See, we have things that come upon us in relationships. Everything from marriage to our children to maybe work, co-workers, different areas that are imposed upon us that sometimes they pull our energy and our attention. And even in some of these areas, we feel like, I can't go on. I don't know what to do. And you know what? Your joy again, your peace, even your love can be robbed. So tonight we talk about refocusing so that though things come in upon us, we do not lose heart. And then, you know, sometimes there's these areas that are very real too in the time we live. What about the mortgages, the houses in foreclosure and making rent? How about unemployment, fear of getting the pink slip? You see, these are all things that are happening and changing in our world right now. But let not your heart be troubled. So tonight, as we take a look at David, and as we take a look at some of the patriarchs, let's look at what they went through. Let's look at some of the things that they confronted, but we also want to see what they did in their faith. It was unmovable. Sort of the first person I want to talk about is just Abraham tonight. Now, Abraham, the Lord appears to Abraham, and he calls him and he gives him a promise. He says, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father, and you're going to inherit this land. And Abraham is about 75 years old, and Sarah's probably about 65 years old. And so, okay, his name is Abraham, and it means father. And imagine this, okay? He's got neighbors, the Baba brothers. There's Haji Baba and Ali Baba, and here they come riding on their camels. And they say, hey, Abraham, which means father, how many kids you got? I don't have any, but God's promised me. How old are you? 75. Sarah, oh, she's 65. Yeah, okay, well, you just keep believing in that God, Abraham. I will see you later, and off they ride. But look, time goes by, and here they are, the neighbors. They're watching the life of Abraham. Now Abraham is 99 years old. God shows up, reaffirms the promise, says, I'll make you the father of nations. At the age of 99, and Hebrew says he was like, but dead. And he's talking about dead in some other areas here. And the thing that happens is, can you imagine? God changes his name to not Abram, but Abraham, which means father of many. So guess what? Here come those Baba brothers again. Here come those neighbors again. And they come by and they say, hey, Abram, how's it going? He goes, my name is Abraham now. What? Father of many. Hey, Abraham, how many kids do you got? I don't have any. You still believe that, God? Oh, and off they go. But see, you and I know the end of that story, don't we? Because at the end of that story, God is faithful. And indeed, today we are seeing the reality of those promises. God did keep his promise to Abraham. But see, what I want you to observe by this particular story is his long suffering, but God's faithfulness. See, I don't know what you're going through today, but there's areas that sometimes we have to long suffer in. But understand this. God is faithful, and he always will be faithful. And that's why this example is here. We look at the life of Joseph. Now, see, Joseph was hated by his brothers. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. He was accused of something he didn't do. He ended up in prison. Nobody knew he was there. Nobody cared. He had no family. He had no support. He didn't even live in the same culture, didn't have the same things he was used to. He was alone. Or was he? Do you feel alone? No, because God is always with you. You see, God loves you. He knows exactly what you're going through. He understands the hurts, the pains, the difficulties that go through your heart and your mind. And though it hurts sometimes, and yes, it is a reality, it's difficult, understand that God loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like, God is always there and he's on the throne. Now look at Moses. You see, now Moses didn't ask to be born as a slave into slavery. He didn't ask to be put in a basket and floated down the Nile. He didn't ask to be put into Pharaoh's household. And then as he tries to reach his people, he's rejected. He becomes a murderer, and then even Pharaoh is after him. He didn't ask for that. And then when he runs, he goes off into the wilderness, and he's there for 40 years. And do you know what he had to show for at the end of 40 years? The Bible says this, that he went on the backside of Mount Horeb, and he was what? He was attending his father-in-law's sheep. He didn't even have his own. He had a stuttering problem, and God shows up and says, Abraham, you're going to represent me. I want you to come now and go to the king, the most powerful king in the world, go to the king of Egypt and tell him, let my people go. And he said, I can't. Five times he says, I can't do this. You know, and there's things in your life that you may be saying, I know what God wants, but I can't do it. Yes, you can. If it's right, if it's in Christ, yes, you can. You can do those things. It's a matter of refocusing. And again, now we're going to move to the life of David. Because we're going to see how David focused in probably one of the most devastating times of his life. He lost everything. So let's go to 1 Samuel. We're going to go to chapter 30, and I'm going to start in verse 1. And this is what it says. Now it happened when David and his men... And before I start, I guess I got to give you a little history here where they're at. I'm sorry. See, David was being persecuted by Saul. He got so tired of it, he says, I can't stand this anymore. So David took in his own hands his actions and said, I know what I'll do. I'll fix the problem. I'm going to go live with the Philistines because Saul can't go there to get me. So for 1 year, he lived with the Philistines. But this is the problem. God never asked him and God never sent him. And really for 1 year, David's life was on hold with God and the things of God. But there's another problem here because, see, when David took things into his own hand, he started living a double life. Because what he would tell King Achish is that King Achish would see him coming back with the spoils of war. And he said, David, where have you been today? Well, you know, I've been out against the camp of the Israelites. But he was really going against the Amalekites and the other people that were enemies of Israel. But he would lie to the king. And so the king built confidence in David because David was living a lie, but he didn't know it. So then the war breaks out. All the Philistine kings want to attack Israel. They want to go against Saul. And so David and his men go with Achish. When they show up, the other Philistine kings go, what are you doing with this man? Isn't he the one that they said Saul's killed his 1,000 and David's killed his 10,000s? Isn't he the one that took off Goliath's head? Well, yeah. Hey, send him home. What a great way to make up with his master by bringing our heads on a platter. No, send him home. So David has a 3-day journey, but when he gets home, now we pick up our story. It says, now it happened that when David and his men came to Ziklag on the 3rd day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, burned it with fire, and had taken captive women and those who were there, small and great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away, and they went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burnt with fire. The wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. And David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power. See, not only David, but his men lost everything in 1 day. But imagine the pain of weeping until you have no more power. You're undone. You're undone physically. You're undone mentally. You're undone emotionally. You're just undone. You can't even cry anymore. It hurts so, so bad. See, that's where David was. That was a place, I know, of great, great despair. Now, as we look at this story, we may say at this very moment, it appears that David has lost everything in life. No, he hasn't. Because he has the Lord, and guess what? The Lord didn't lose David either. See, David has the Lord. Though you may think I'm going into the most difficult thing in my life, you do have the Lord, and he has not lost you, and he has not forgotten about you. He will always be there for you, and he profoundly loves you. I think one of the things that's helped me as a Christian to move forward through trials is to know that I know that God loves me unconditionally. Because there's times I've had to face difficult things, hard for my heart to go through, and yet I always turn to say, Lord, I know you love me. I know you're there for me, God. Thank you. And see, what that does is that refocuses you. And we're going to see how David right now is, though he's at this low point, he's going to refocus. Let's see what he does. Verse 5. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Canaanite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, again, this is another piece of information, but you see, David's condition was really difficult. Because not only did he lose everything, now his friends are saying, we're going to kill you. It's your fault. Have you ever been accused and beaten down, maybe verbally? Have you ever had people come at you and attack you and hate you? Well, that hurts. But how much more when it's somebody that's important, who's a friend, or maybe you even love, that you've worked with, a coworker? How about a family member? How about a spouse? See, that hurts. I mean, that's one of the deepest hurts, when somebody who's so close to you turns against you. But David did something that we can all do. We have to what? We have to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. See, at this point, what David does is David calls out to the Lord. He knows that he needs to do this. And this is one of those things that is so beautiful and so important, because that is one of the successes that David has. Now, the Lord Jesus talks about something. Again, he talks about, don't let your heart be troubled. But what does he do? I want you to listen to this. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me also. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, you may be also. Now watch. Let not your heart be troubled. And what does he do? He helps us focus on the future. See, focusing on the future is one of the key elements in being able to move forward through a trial, not looking back. And a lot of times this is what happens to us. We go through hurts, we go through difficulties, and we have this habit of turning around, looking back to those hurts, looking back maybe even to those individuals, and these become those distractions. And you know what? We're not with our hands to the plow. And we're looking back, and all of a sudden, we're wondering, why don't I have peace? Why don't I have joy? Why can I not love? It's because our focus is not on Jesus Christ. And that's right where it needs to be. But then also, too, our focus is on who we are, what we're called for, because you want to make sure that you know what your calling and your election is. Peter says, make sure, above all things, make sure your call and election, sure, know what it is. See, at this time and period in life, you've been called by the Lord Jesus Christ to live here as a witness for him and to affect everybody around you in a beautiful way by reflecting who he is through your life. That's your purpose. Now, after that purpose, you have eternity in the presence of God. See, I know it hurts sometimes, but I know what? The hurt isn't forever. that pain isn't forever. Death is not forever. Foreclosure is not forever. Can't pay my rent's not forever. No. Heaven's forever. And it's a beautiful place. And I would be in the presence of God's what? Glory and grace. That's where you're bound. That's where you're headed. And see, at this verse, Jesus says, hey, look, don't be worried. Don't be troubled. Just know where I'm going to take you. Know where you're going. This isn't forever, all these problems. And that's a beautiful thing because, see, that's how God wants to encourage us. See, Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So what are those things above? What is it that God has for you in your future? Have you ever thought about that? I do. I meditate on it all the time. I need to. I want to. I can't wait. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Pastor Eric asked me when Pastor Robert said you'd be teaching on Wednesday. Eric walked into my office and he says, you got butterflies? Are you a little nervous? I said, no. But I won't say I haven't prayed for the rapture a few times today. I mean, really, come on, Lord. Let's just go today. Let's just do this. I don't have to go up here. Yeah. But the beautiful thing is, it's this. Is that, you see, our life is hidden Christ. And you know, I'm excited to know that my life is hidden Christ. When we come back to look at David's life, remember? All the men wanted to kill him. He lost everything. Listen to what David says in Psalm 77. I'm going to read this. He says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. See, he started the process of searching, reaching out for God. And I don't know where you're at and what you're going through, but you know what? Whatever you're going through, take it to him. Reach out. Let not your heart be troubled. Reach out to him. Don't have anxiety about anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. What do? You make your request known to God. What's his promise? He'll give you peace. It protects what? Your heart and mind. And we do need peace for today because this is not a peaceful environment. We live in a very hostile world. Very hostile. And yet we have the peace of God. And the world goes, how do you have that? How do you maintain this calm? I mean, aren't you worried? No. I should be. I don't even know why I'm not, but I'm not. Well, the reason we don't. Sometimes we don't know why we're not worried. We figure, I should be worried, but I'm not, and I don't understand why. Well, it's because God gave you peace. Supernaturally, boom, he just gave that to you. His love, his grace. But there's another area I want you to see, and this is another example. You see, David isn't the only one who's a great example for us of going through difficult, stressful moments. Do you guys remember the garden? Wow. What happened in the garden? See, Jesus went through incredible stress in the garden because he knew he was going to the cross. He knew that all of our sins would be placed upon him when he is pure, perfect, and innocent. He knew that he would be separated from the Father because of the chastisement that would come upon him. That was incredible stress and incredible strain in his life. He says in this, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came, for this hour. He goes on to say to his disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. Now, there's two things that are important here. The first one is, what was he doing? He was with the Father. He was in communion with the Father. See, that's where we want to go. See, that's what David did. He sought the Lord. But there's this other element. I wouldn't want you to miss it because it's very important for all of us. We're a family. And that's that he invited the disciples to come and what? Be with him. Tarry with me. Watch with me. Remember, they fell asleep. See, when we're going through a trial, it's very important that we don't isolate ourselves. It's a very common thing. We think we're the only one going through it. I remember, I'm going to be honest, in looking in the church, there was a particular couple, and I would look at them and I'd say, man, they always seem to be happy. They have their act together, it appears, and they look like they're doing wonderful financially. And they're always, you know, joyful until they came in my office. And I said, oh, Lord, help them. Help them, Lord. See, the perspective changed because they shared their hearts. So I was able to say, can I pray for you? I care about you more than ever now. I mean, I see what you're going through. Oh, I want to come alongside of you and help you with this. This is where, as the church, we come alongside and we help one another with each other's burdens. We need one another. We are family. But if we try to isolate ourselves in the middle of a difficulty, we're going to only hurt ourselves. So this is what I'm saying. Share your burden. Share what you're going through. And sometimes you feel, you know, I can't. It's too embarrassing. I mean, I don't want everybody to know what I'm going through. And what are they going to say? And what are they going to think? No, we are family. You see, you have a wonderful staff here. You have pastors that are here that love you. We're here for you. We care about what you go through. We want you to have the confidence to come and share your hearts. We're family. You have brothers and sisters that sit around you in church. Share with them. Look for those mature Christians that you can go to and say, would you pray for me? I'm going through something. But please, do not hold it in and try to deal with it yourself. And that's especially for the guys, because that's what guys do. But for you gals, I understand that confidence of who can I talk to about this? Will they keep this a secret? Will they just take it and spread it all around? You know, we have godly women that counsel on staff too. And I just want you to have that confidence. This is such an important area that helps us move forward through trials. There's something else that we want to look at, and that's what God did for David in the end. So let's just turn and move forward here. Let's look at chapter 30, but let's jump to verse 18 and 19. Listen to what it says. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small nor great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which had been taken from them. David recovered all. He recovered all. That's the faithfulness of God. Remember Abraham? Remember God's faithfulness? Remember Joseph rotting in prison? Remember God's faithfulness? Well, guess what? That's the same God you have. And he's just as strong for you as he was for them. Yeah, that's wonderful to know. That is encouragement. So, you know, again, there's something that we learn from this. And that's what, if you put your focus on Christ today, you will be prepared for tomorrow. And there's a song I really love. It's an old song. Probably many of you know it. It's very simple. I'm not going to sing it, I promise, but I'll say the words. It's this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But see, it's turning back and refocusing. The pink slip, refocus. Health problems, refocus. Marriage problems, refocus. It's the reaching out to God. It's the turning back to God that is so, so important. Now, David says this. He says, and he says this three times in the Psalms. He says, why are you cast down, O soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. See, there's those moments where we catch ourselves worrying. And that's what David's doing here. He says, Saul, why are you perplexed? Why are you worrying, Saul? Why are you thinking about that? Why are you meditating on that? See, it's okay. Remember who you are. Remember where you're going. Now, this is an encouraging verse out of the book of Lamentations, probably the only one. Because Lamentations is not an encouraging book. But listen to it. This is Lamentations 3:25. It says, "The Lord is good to those who wait on Him," or wait for Him, "to the soul who seeks Him." You see, that's true. God is very, very good. Now, when we look at the Bible and we look at the reality of it, it does warn us. Paul says, hey, in the end times, there'll be perilous times. The Spirit says expressly in the latter days that some will depart from the faith. When we look to the book of Revelations, we go, thank God for the rapture. But see, here's what I want you to understand. You and I are looking at the world through Christian eyes and His Word. The world's looking at it going, we don't know what's going on here. We don't know where we're going. We're clueless. We see change, but they have no answers. They have no direction. They're very perplexed. You see, there's a train coming, a big train. And there's people asleep on those railroad tracks. But as you live your life for Christ, it allows you to be a witness and a light for them, to get them woken up, and you can lift up men and women, boys and girls, and pull them away from those dangers. Because they're looking at your life. They see the witness. They see the joy, the love, the joy, the peace. And they say, I need that and I want that. But there's another story, and I'm going to end with this. This is a true story that happened to me. When I was 19 years old, I went with a group of my friends to Canada on a backpacking trip to the Rockies for 1 month. And those of you that know me, this is not the Bigfoot story, so don't go there. Anyway, when we came down out of the mountains, we had a designated area, drop area for our cars, and we got in our vehicles and said, well, we'll head home. When we get tired, we're going to pull off the side of the road and we're going to just go to sleep and we're going to rest. So we did do that. Now, when we went off the main road, we went down a dirt road, found this sort of flat area. There was no moon. It was very dark. Each of us grabbed our sleeping bag. We just flopped it out on the ground and bam, we were out. We were so tired. We just, boom, we're out. At some point in the middle of the night, I heard voices. And I go, what am I hearing? And so I pop my head out of my sleeping bag, and these people walk right by me. But I mean, I know they're people. I can hear them, and I saw a flashlight. But I go, who is that? What is that? And I'm tired, and I go, oh, it's somebody in the group going to the bathroom, and I went back to sleep. And then later that night, all of a sudden, the ground started to shake. And I really mean it was shaking. And I heard this loud noise. And as I wake up, I can't even wrap my brain around what's going on. It was terrifying. Well, to make it worse, as I pop my head out of my sleeping bag to look, there's a bright light right coming right at me. And now I'm going, I don't know what I'm seeing. I don't know what's going on. And then as I sort of look sideways, I saw railroad tracks right next to me. I put my sleeping bag, and I couldn't see it, right next to railroad tracks, and there was a train coming right at me. Oh, heart attack. I got up and bolted out of there so fast. Wake up call. Very good. But now listen to this. See, there may be some of you here today that are a little too close to the railroad tracks. This is time to wake up. This is time to turn your hearts to the Lord like you never have before. Because there is a train coming. We know what the future holds. We don't want to stay here when that train shows up. We want to be with the Lord. And so I encourage you, if you're here tonight and you're going through something, we have a prayer room over here. We have pastors, counselors. And if you feel you're a little too close to the tracks, that you're not living the life you should be living for Jesus, please wake up and move closer to Him and move away from that danger. Let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord, that when we go through difficulties and trials, you've given us so many promises. And Father, we're grateful because we know that these promises are true and that you will complete exactly what you say. And tonight, Father, I just pray for all of us here that we will have our focus on you. Lord, if there's any distractions in our life, if we're not focused on the right thing, and that's you, would you turn our heart back to you? Would you turn our focus back to you? Would you help us to lay down those things that are taking up our thoughts and our energy and our time that Lord, really, they're not of you. They're just distractions. And Father, would you help us as a congregation to reach this city of Tucson? Because, Father, we know people are watching our lives. We have family members that are watching us. And our prayer is, Lord, that they would see the peace of God. They'd see the love of God, the joy of the Spirit in our lives. And that would draw them to you. But, Father, thank you. Because you have never left us. And you never will. And whenever we reach out to you, you're always there. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.